Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 54 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk some baseball and softball today with the two head coaches at Ankeny Centennial. Both of their teams have really been on a roll of late. As the softball team owns a 7-game winning streak, and the baseball squad extended its winning streak to 6 games with a win at Dowling Catholic last night before dropping the second game of a doubleheader. In a little while, we'll also be visiting with the special guest from the south side of town, so I'm looking forward to that. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach of the Centennial baseball team, and he has guided the Jaguars to a number 7 ranking in Class 4A and a 20-9 record. He is Mark High. Mark, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You guys got off to a great 11-2 start, where the only losses were to top-ranked Johnston. You've gone 9-7 since, as the schedule's gotten tougher with a lot more conference games. But overall, are you happy with the way things have gone?
Yeah, our players are doing a tremendous job working. I really believe we play in the toughest conference in the state, and night in, night out, they have to be ready to play, and they have been.
Well, yeah, when you look at your conference, you have 4 of the state's top 9 teams in Class 4A. You have number 1 Johnston, defending state champion, and number 6 Urbandale. You guys are 7th, and then number 9 Dowling. You know, so there can't be a tougher conference in the state than that.
No, and I know Ankeny's just outside the top 10 as well, so...
Well, yeah, I was just going to mention Ankeny. You know, they certainly have some of the best young talent in the state. You know, and Ames, you know, they can be pesky at times. There just aren't any nights off in this league, is there?
Well, no, not at all. Not at all. And baseball's so pitching dominant, too. And, you know, we just have a lot of great arms that we see every night.
Well, you guys were able to sweep a doubleheader at Ankeny last month. You got back-to-back shutouts from Trey Morris and Tyler Heinzerling. That was certainly one of the best doubleheaders that you guys have played, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, Ankeny's, like you said earlier, just tremendous talent on that team. Great hitters, very deep pitching. It seems like every week they're rolling out a freshman or sophomore who throws extremely well for them. And, you know, Joe Ballvance just does a great job with them. So, you know, you have to be playing your best when you play them. So that was definitely a good doubleheader for us.
Now there's going to be a rematch on Wednesday at Centennial. And you know the Hawks are going to be out for some revenge. And they've shown that they can play with anybody, having already won games against Urbandale, Johnston, and number 4 Des Moines Roosevelt. You probably aren't expecting to shut them out 2 more times, are you?
No. But, you know, our focus is really just get better every night, and whether it's a practice day, whether it's a game day, we just want to keep building towards the end of the season as we're heading into the postseason.
Well, I know both Trey and Tyler pitched on Saturday in Cedar Rapids, so I assume they'd be able to come back and pitch again tomorrow. Have you decided on your pitching plans for the doubleheader yet?
They'll probably come back. I know I'm probably not giving away top secret information here. We threw Josh Metter and Logan Neils last night, and they both pitched extremely well, so... we're happy with everyone on our pitching staff and what they've been doing.
Well, the two guys I mentioned have certainly been a big part of your success this season. Heinzerling boasts a 5-0 record with a 1.56 ERA, and Morris is 3-2 with a 1.66 ERA and a team-high 45 strikeouts. Trey's also been one of your team's best hitters. He's batting .308 with 3 homers and 27 RBIs. You know, those two guys have been pretty consistent, haven't they?
Yeah, they've been outstanding. I think both of them have to be considered some of the top pitchers in the area, and I know that was their goal in the off season, is to really make themselves kind of elite, and I think they've done that.
Well, you mentioned the two guys that threw last night for you, Josh and Logan, and then the fifth guy that you've used at times is Caden Stewart. You know, all those guys have thrown well, but with the schedule that you guys play, you know, so many games, so many doubleheaders, you really need to have a deep pitching staff, don't you?
You do. I really am glad we play summer baseball in Iowa. I look at some of the states around us, and I watch their state championship games on TV, and they've only gotten, you know, 20 games in a season. And, you know, we're able to play 40 in nicer weather. But if you're going to play 40 in a short season, you're going to play 6 games, 8-game weeks. And, yeah, you have to be very deep.
Now at the plate, your team has several other guys in addition to Morris that are batting above 300. Ryan Vermeer is batting an even 400. Josh Mader is at 366. Keaton Gray, 359. Caden Bullwinkle at 340. And Derek Boyke at 318. You know, don't you think the quality of your lineup from top to bottom has been another key to your success?
Yeah, I do. I think a sign of a really good team is when your 7, 8, 9 hitters are going to get on base and allow your top of the order to have some RBI opportunities. And I think that's been definitely a key to some of our games, is that we've had hitting throughout the lineup.
Well, the substate assignments came out recently, and I believe the pairings have now been determined, although I'm not sure that they've been made public yet. Do you guys know what seed you got and, you know, what your matchup is yet?
We do. They just became public within the last hours. So we're the one seed, and we'll play Waterloo West.
Oh, okay. Do you know much about Waterloo West yet?
I saw him one time, and I'll see him a few more times before we play him. They're a good young team. They're a young team, too. They got a lot of sophomores that play. I do know they beat Southeast Polk last year when they were a six seed, and Southeast Polk was a one seed. And they threw a freshman kid named Schulte, and this year they have a sophomore kid named Schulte who we're going to have to see as a pitcher. And so we're just going to have to try to figure out how to beat him.
Well, you mentioned Southeast Polk. They're ranked eighth, and they're one of the teams in your bracket as well. You know, they're a traditional power. They won back-to-back state championships back in 2014 and 15. And I know you guys don't play them in the regular season, but I'm sure, you know, you're doing your due diligence and in case you would meet them later on. What do you know about, you know, this year's version of the Rams?
Outstanding team. It's a strange substate that we're in this year in that we won't have played any of the teams that are in the substate. So we've been doing a lot of traveling since the pairings, or the, at least the teams that were in your substate came out. So we've seen all of them, and we've seen Southeast Polk, and they're an outstanding hitting team, and they've got a couple pitchers. Martin is one of them, who are, you know, some of the best, like I said, best in the area. So we're going to have to, you know, if we would get to a game where we'd be playing them to go to state, you know, we're going to have to play our best.
Well, Marshalltown's another team in your substate with a winning record, a good team that you could potentially see down the road. And like you mentioned, you haven't played any of these teams. So obviously you've had to do more scouting, you know, this year than you've had to do in the past, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife loves it. Gets me out of the house.
Yeah.
Every night. But, you know, Marshalltown's another team that you just do not like to play. Steve Hansen's their coach there, and he has them so well coached. Always a tremendous fundamental team. They'll run a lot of picks. They'll if you fall asleep, they'll do something and take advantage of it. So, you know, just a team that you don't want to play postseason. In fact, I think all those teams in the substate would fall into that category as somebody that you just don't really want to run into in the postseason.
Well, we talked earlier about the depth of your pitching staff. You know, have you started formulating any plans, you know, as to who would start in the postseason for you, or maybe that's still to be determined?
Well, yeah, I think Trey and Tyler and Josh and Logan kind of are in that mix. And so what we do these last couple weeks is we try to line up. We work backwards from that substate and make sure that we have, you know, the guys that we want ready to throw on full rest, and that we can throw them in that Friday, and just kind of line those games up there. Hopefully we don't get a lot of rain that messes up our plans.
Sure. Well, I'm sure you'd have confidence in any of those guys to throw. And it's nice to have a lot of options, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we would have total confidence in throwing any of them.
Well, Johnston has been the number one team all season, I believe, and they've backed up that ranking by going 22-3, and they're averaging nearly 10 runs per game. You know, if you had to pick a favorite to win the Class 4A title, I mean, I know there's a lot of teams that could contend for it, but would you pick them?
They're the one that I've seen. Yeah, I know Western Dubuque has a really good team. I'll actually see them in a week. They play Waterloo West, and so I'll see them. I know, you know, Dowling's not bad. They've got some injuries they're dealing with right now, but if they get healthy, they'll be a tough team. Urbandale is defending state champs, and they're a pretty good ball club as well. Mason City's playing very well right now. I mean, there's just a lot of teams that are really kind of getting on a roll.
Well, you guys have shown that you can play with anybody, you know, including the Dragons. You lost a one-run game at Johnston in eight innings in early June, and then you posted a 4-3 win over the Dragons in the second game of a doubleheader 3 weeks later. You know, so your guys have to be confident going up against anyone, I would think.
I think they are. Our goal every day is just to come out and try to get a little bit better. You know, those you'll have games every once in a while where you might get a little pitching thin and some games get out of hand, but I think our guys can regroup. They can let those things go. And, you know, we've played a couple games against Johnston where they really just battled. And, you know, last night was a good example. We had a couple close ball games, and I thought our guys played a lot calmer in those games. And that it helps. I think it helps to play difficult games and helps to play very talented teams as you go through the season. I think our players relax more and realize that they can win those games and just stay calm.
Well, baseball is kind of a unique sport in that, you know, during the regular season, you play a bunch of doubleheaders. Then you get into the postseason where you're playing just one game at a time. And as soon as you lose, you know, you're done. You know, is it kind of hard to simulate the pressure of those postseason games when you are playing all these doubleheaders?
In a way, we try to, during some games, say, hey, you know, think of this as a sub-state game. You know, it's 1-1 in the fifth inning. I mean, how are we going to win this if our season rides on this? And so we try to put them in those situations, put those thoughts in their heads about, you know, how do you approach that bat? Or if you're facing a pitcher who's throwing nothing but curveballs, you know, what should your approach be right here? So innings don't start slipping away, because it's almost what that feels like. And you get in that one and done situation is you can have 3-4 innings just seem to vanish on you. And now you're getting late in the game and the pressure starts to build. So we try to talk to them during those games when those opportunities come up.
Well, I mentioned that Sadie's Poke is one of the teams in your bracket, and you guys have similar records, similar rankings. But was there much of a tussle to get that number one seed, you know, in your meeting?
Yeah, it was like a 3-hour meeting. So we did that Sunday. And I really have to compliment the other four coaches in our sub-state. We, the Southeast Polk coaches, myself, stepped out of the room and let them talk. And they talked for almost an hour and a half and went through and just dissected our schedules. And, I mean, it was on paper, the two teams are just unbelievably similar in winning percentage and, you know, common opponents and everything like that. So, you know, I would have been fine with whatever seed we came out of. I just really compliment those four coaches for what they went through on that Sunday. Been easy to flip a coin and say, we're done in 5 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, Mark. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Enjoyed the conversation.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender, and you can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is in his first season as the head coach of the Centennial softball team. He has guided the Jaguars to a 21-10 record, including a 12-4 mark in the CIML Central Conference. He is Brett Delaney. Brett, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You know, overall, are you pretty happy with how things have gone?
Yeah, it's been a nice transition to my first year as a head coach. The girls have come in and responded well to myself and my assistants, and really coming into the park every day, working as hard as I can.
Well, of course, you previously served as an assistant at Ankeny before taking over the Jaguars program last fall. Now, I know you're already teaching on the north sides, so did that make the transition a little easier for you?
Yeah, it actually made it a lot easier. So I've had most of these girls in class or saw them in the hallways as 8th and 9th graders. So finding ways to make connections was just a little bit easier than coming in totally without knowing anybody.
Now, I think you'd been wanting to become a head coach for a little while. Coach Bingham told me that. So obviously when the Centennial job opened again for the second straight year, you know, that would certainly make sense for you to pursue it, you know, especially given your teaching position. But had you considered, you know, any other jobs outside the district before that one became available?
There's been a couple other possibilities along the way. Over the few years that I've got the opportunity to learn off of Coach Bingham and work underneath him, a couple things popped up here and there, but nothing the right fit. And this one was finally the right fit for me.
What would you say was the biggest challenge for you in taking over the Jaguars program?
You know, just continuing on. They came off a successful season last year, and finding ways to make that connection with them and have the girls trusting each other. They've been through a few head coaches in the last few years, and just knowing and reassuring them that I'm here for them and I'm here for them in the long haul, and finding those connections from day one and making sure I have the connections with them and connections with the parents, and then continuing to involve the community as best as possible.
Now, I was doing a feature on Lily King the other day, and she described your coaching style this way. She said, quote, Coach Delaney has a great balance between having fun and pushing us to be better. Off the field, he likes to joke around and put us at ease, but as soon as we take the field, it's strictly business. He's a very supportive coach, and we respond well to him. You know, so were the girls pretty receptive right away to the way that you like to do things?
Yeah, it's been a nice transition. They have responded pretty well. They've at different times, just like any situation, have come up and questioned different things. And we've always sat down and had those talks, and finding ways to keep it a little less softball at times is, I guess, a philosophy of mine to get the most out of them on the field. And it's just been a fun transition, and getting to know them and them getting to know me. And then, you know, I have a couple of great assistants that helped me along the way, and those guys have made the transition easier too, and have allowed my coaching style to, I guess, become better even.
Well, yeah, your season is so condensed. You guys play so many games. You have so many practices. You probably do need to get away from softball every now and then, huh?
Yeah, every once in a while we try to find a way to get away and get the girls away from softball the best we can, and do different team activities and team bonding outside the softball field. And I think that's just part of our team philosophy that we've brought in to these girls and working with these girls.
Well, I'm sure you're already pretty familiar, you know, with the girls in the program, but once you got a chance to work with them on an everyday basis, you know, what did you think of the talent in the program? Was it maybe even better than you expected?
You know, the talent's always been there. I just remember as an assistant at the times that we've had to play Centennial, and just knowing that they've had the talent, they've had the ability to get there, and just getting them to believe in that talent. So no, the talent wasn't a surprise to me. Just finding ways that we could tap into their potential and get them to believe in themselves and use that talent that they have. You know, as a teacher in the district and in teaching those girls, I've kind of followed along from afar, and then the opportunity presented itself, and just knowing that to make those connections with the girls and find that way to foster that talent as fast as we could, and we're starting to do that, and you know, it's showing in our results on the field lately.
Well, you mentioned the successful season that they had last year. They did enjoy their winningest season ever, going 25-16. You guys are now on pace, you know, to break that mark pretty soon. You know, going into the season, did you feel like, you know, this team had the potential to win 25-plus games?
You know, from the first time that I met the girls, I said the ultimate goal is to get to Fort Dodge. They have to believe that they can get to Fort Dodge, and we know that they have the talent to get to Fort Dodge. It's not about that setting the school record in wins. It's about the ultimate goal of playing in – on those diamonds at in Fort Dodge, and so we've set our goal that way, and then, you know, these wins have just kept happening, and then getting them to believe and getting them to focus on that journey has been the best part of this. And so yeah, I guess the ultimate goal has been that the Fort Dodge trip, and we like our draw that to get us there. So
we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but your team has won 16 of its last 21 games after a 5-5 start. Do you kind of feel like, you know, your team is kind of, you know, peaking at the right time?
Yeah, we're getting there. We had a couple tough games at the beginning of the year. We started out with number one Waukee, and that was a good test right for us to get us a gauge of where we're going to be. And we've just gradually learned from each other, figured different things out. I was just watching a replay of the Fort Dodge game here the other day, and it's just been interesting to see the difference in lineups that we've ran in that game and to where we're at now, and trying to figure out who's going to play where and bat when. And it's just part of the journey that you just talked about. It's everything's condensed in that 40 games from the middle of May till July, the first part of July, and then postseason hits right after that. So finding that balance and trying to keep people healthy and just that journey along the way has been fun.
Well, certainly one of the keys to your team's success has been the depth of your pitching staff. You have four pitchers, Maddie Huseman, Carly Kaiser, Sam Klug, and Kayla Stone, who have all made double-digit appearances this season, and they all boast ERAs below 4.00. You know, that's really given you a lot of flexibility to handle your team's difficult schedule, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, those girls have stepped up to the plate. I remember taking the job. Someone mentioned to me that they didn't think we had the depth in the pitching circle, and I told them that they were wrong. I said we had two seniors coming back, and Kayla Stone and Carly Kaiser, that were going to be our leaders. I said we have a couple of girls in our back pocket that are going to come out and surprise some people, and those two, and Maddie Huseman and Sam Klug, have done that for us. It's just given us an opportunity to, I guess, take a little more of a, I guess I call it a baseball approach, and use the staff approach. We've had a couple of girls who have started more in the past and have begin to accept their roles as a kind of a reliever type of situation, and if we ever have a girl in trouble, we're not a hesitant to put someone else in and then even go back to our starter if we need to. And those girls have blossomed off each other. They keep challenging each other day in and day out, whether they're getting their bullpen work or they're in the game. They're always ready to go in that dugout, so it's been fun to have four of them and kind of get them equal innings. And it, you know, that was not the plan going in. It was we didn't know really what we had when it came to game-wise, but it just kind of worked out where they're all been kind of equal innings opportunities, and it's just been fun to watch them grow.
Well, tonight you guys will host North Polk and Ballard, and then you'll host a doubleheader against Ankeny on Wednesday. Before we preview the rematch against Ankeny, though, I wanted to ask you about the first meeting against the Hawkettes. You guys split a doubleheader at Ankeny on June 17th. You dropped the first game 4-1 before winning the nightcap 7-6 in 8 innings. You know, I'm sure that was an emotional night for you, coaching against your former team and Coach Bingham. You know, did it seem a little strange for you to go back to that field?
You know, it was a little bit different. I kind of penciled that one in at the beginning of the season as a game that I was looking forward to. And it was just a unique opportunity to know that Coach Bingham's given me so many opportunities and developed me as a coach and as a person. And it's just it was a neat night. And seeing those girls that I've coached for the last 4 or 5, 6 years, and having those and being able to carry on the quick conversation in between at bats or in between innings, and just know that I hope the best for those girls. I knew we were gonna have to play them 4 times. I'm just really glad that there's no chance to get paired up until we play each other in Fort Dodge, and then when that opportunity presents itself, it'll still be a unique opportunity too. But yeah, it was fun to go back and see everybody. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for that program and always will. They gave me, I guess, my start in the softball career as coaching. So I'm very thankful to them. I'm very thankful to Coach Butcher and Coach Bingham and Coach Bingham's family along the way.
Well, you obviously coached under Dave for a long time. You know, did you bring some of his coaching philosophies, you know, with you when you moved across town?
Oh, absolutely. I've taken some of his things. I've taken some of my things and kind of made it my own. And used philosophies that he's taught me and used philosophies that and ideas that other coaches have taught me. I guess the one thing that I try to do is never settle for what I think I know, because there's other people out there that know a lot more than me. One example is my assistant, Coach Gronewald, that I hired. I knew that she came with high recommendation and brought her in and just used her resources, and Coach Stolte that's in the dugout with us too. And then, you know, we have a great staff in our ninth grade staff, and then our eighth grade staff as well. And we have to give a little shout out to our eighth graders who just finished a 22-0 undefeated eighth grade season. So there's the talent there program wide, and the future's bright for our program. But we're ready to continue attacking our last 8 games left here this season, and then our 5-game postseason, hopefully.
Sure. Well, now you guys will meet Ankeny again tomorrow night. And I'm sure you've kept an eye on the Hawkettes, you know, all season, and they have a similar record to what you guys have. You know, what are your impressions of their team?
You know, he's got a good team. He had a kind of a slow start like we did, but just as good a coach as he is, he's got them playing well at the right time. And they're a team that's talented 1 through 9. I know he's had to use different people in the circle. I know he's had to use different people in the field because of certain situations. And they've got probably one of the best, if not the best athlete in the state of Iowa, playing for him and leading off for him. And she's just a threat at third base. And then when she gets to the plate too, I know came down to that eighth inning last time when we played them, and we had to put her on base, and it was probably didn't sit well with their fans, but you know what? That's the respect that we have for her, and I just think she's an amazing athlete. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be a good battle between both of us. I think, like you just said, we both have similar records. We're kind of playing really well right now. So the respect will be there for both people and for their team and for Coach Bingham. I think we'll have our girls ready to play, and I think our girls are ready to come out and hopefully try to take two from them and hopefully stay in that conference race. I know we had a little bit of a letdown at the Johnston game, but things happen, and that's okay. We learned from it. We came back, and we responded well since then. And so our girls are playing well, and they're coming to the park every day to try to go after our ultimate goal and make that trip to Fort Dodge.
All right. Well, the Ankeny player that you're talking about there was Jasmine Rumley, of course. And I was just going to ask you about, you know, that first game where you did walk her in the eighth inning. You know, that's not a common move that coaches make. But obviously, you know, you just made the decision in that situation that you just want to make somebody else beat you, right?
Yeah. Jasmine had probably hit a 350-foot shot on us earlier in the night. And we were up one, and I didn't want to give her the opportunity to tie it right there. And right before I walked out to tell the umpire, I did look at her and told her I wasn't going to pitch to her right here. And you know, that's just the respect that I have for her. She's an amazing athlete, great both swimmer and softball player, and I just hope that the future's so bright for her and great things are coming. And like you said, I didn't want to do it, but I in that that situation we had to put her on, and that's just the respect that we have for her.
Well, last night she hit a couple more home runs, including a walk-off blast, you know, in the second game to help Ankeny sweep a doubleheader against Ames. But the Hawkettes scored a season-high 19 runs in that second game. So they obviously have a lot of potent hitters besides Jasmine, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They got another senior leader in Anna Voigt that will put the ball in play. He's got Marina Carter, who didn't start the season coming off an injury, and she's, I'm sure, swinging the bat well. And, you know, he's got another senior leader in Zoe Baker, too, that has been playing well for him and always will. And, you know, like we've talked about in this conversation, I have respect for those girls. They've helped develop me as coaches and just allowed me to grow as a person, too. And then they've kind of shown me the path and allowed me the opportunity to coach them. And, you know, at different times throughout the season that we've run into each other, and I've had nothing but compliments for them. And told them anyway that at any time, if they ever need any help, that we're here for them and in any way that we can help them too. So, yeah, he's got a lineup that's playing well. He's got the short game. He's got a little bit of long ball on a couple of those girls. And he's got two senior pitchers that have been playing well for him, and Paige Jacobson and Shelby Chambers. So the respect will be there, and we'll be up to the challenge of hopefully taking two from them tomorrow night.
All right. Well, you did mention that you guys have 8 games left in the regular season, and then you'll begin the postseason play next week. Your team will host Des Moines Hoover in a regional semifinal on July 13th. And I know the Huskies moved up to Class 5A this season after winning the Class 4A crown last year. You know, do they have a lot of kids back from that team?
You know, we've just begun the process of diving into their roster and figuring out what they have back from last year and what they are this year. They're an interesting team that doesn't play a lot of regular season games because of the way she runs her program over there. And I know they have the Nolte girl back who looks like their number one pitcher and then their top hitter that are there for. And she's got a couple younger kids that are really good too. So, they're an interesting squad. We're just learning about them and we'll be prepared for them the best we can be.
Well, you don't want to look too far ahead, but if you are able to get past that game, then you would likely play at second-ranked Valley in a regional final on July 16th. Now, you were part of the Ankeny team that lost in a regional final there last year, so you know what a tall task that would be, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Coach Bakey, year in and year out, has one of the best programs in the state of Iowa, and he's got another good squad this year. He's got probably one of the best softball players in the state, and Alex Honnold playing shortstop for him and, I think, leading off for him. And then he's got other depth throughout the lineup. So yeah, it would. We don't want to look ahead. We don't want to give anything past Hoover. And if we have the opportunity to get past Hoover, then I'm sure Valley will be sitting there for us. And I know our girls will be ready to and up for the challenge. They're excited. They've wanted the opportunity to play Valley for multiple reasons throughout the year. And hopefully they give themselves a shot to do that.
Well, of course, one of Valley's top pitchers is Haley Gatica, who is a former Centennial standout. And it looks like Haley and Megan Decker have been sharing most of the Tigers' pitching duties. Now, your kids are obviously familiar with Haley and vice versa, so I don't know who would have an advantage if you ended up, you know, facing her. Do you feel like either the hitter or the pitcher would have an advantage in that situation?
You know, both squads are going to become ready to play on that game, and so I think it would just be down to who executes the best. If we can be executing up at the plate and she's executing the thing, it's going to come down to a couple who can find that gap or who can find that hole in the plays. And, you know, Haley's a family friend of ours and always will be. And once again, have great respect for her. I think even brighter things are ahead of her in her future. And she's just a girl who is always looking to give back to her community and to others and has been nothing but positive to everybody that I've been around. She's had opportunities to babysit my girls in the past. And so it's something where we have great respect for her and we'll have respect for her when we go up there. And just hopefully that if the opportunity presents itself, our girls will be up to the challenge for beating them for their shot at going to Fort Dodge.
Well, we talked earlier about the depth of your own pitching staff, and you mentioned how, you know, you've used those girls pretty equally this season. You know, have you formulated any plans on how you're going to use your pitchers in the postseason, or does it kind of depend on matchups maybe?
It's going to just depend on matchups. It's something where we've had an ongoing basis, and we've never really just said you're pitching game one, you're pitching game two, kind of going that way. And the girls come to the park knowing that they're going to pitch that night. And during batting practice, we talk to our two starters and say, you're going to get the ball in game one and you're going to get the ball in game two. And it's something where we'll have our plan ready for them. It's too early to tell where we'll be at that point. And so, yeah, it's right now it's the staff's going to throw against the Hoover, and if we get past Hoover, the staff will throw against Valley too.
Well, it's nice to have confidence in four girls, though, because you'll use them all if you have to, right?
Absolutely. We won't hesitate to use them all. We can use them all multiple times with our reentry rules. So I know whichever one we give the ball to is going to be ready to go, and that's a testament to them, and it's a testament to our coaches who get them ready too.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks a lot for coming in today. We'll see you at the games tomorrow night.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. Well, speaking of Haley Gatica, her mom, Steph, at Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, Cool Sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photo facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my final guest is a new member of our community. He was recently named the Activities Director at Ankeny High School, and he just officially started working this week. Although I know he's been busy for several weeks getting ready for the transition, he is Andy Umthun. Andy, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Oh, great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know things have been really hectic for you, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. You know, are you starting to get settled in a little bit or not really?
You could say that, absolutely. You know, I had the opportunity to kind of transition a little bit the last few weeks and in June and officially started yesterday. And yeah, you know, it's a little bit of a whirlwind when you make a transition like this, but it's been real smooth and very welcoming community.
Well, you came to Ankeny from Cedar Rapids Xavier, where you had been the activities director since 2017. I know you and your four brothers are all graduates of Dowling Catholic, and your parents still live in Granger. So was it primarily your family ties that brought you back to the Des Moines area?
You know, I think that was a big push for it. You know, I'm real close to my family, especially my four brothers. We're all very close in age. And it, just this opportunity, a unique challenge to take on and run a huge activities department like Ankeny was, you know, kind of a professional goal of mine. And to be able to reach that goal, to also get close the family, you know, it just seemed like a great opportunity and really excited about it. I know my my dad especially was really excited about me getting a little closer. And yeah, even though we're all big Dowling people, I know all my whole family's real excited about this.
When you have family ties to Ankeny as well, I remember you telling me that your aunt and uncle are former Ankeny school teachers, Biff and Cynthia Renner, right?
That is correct. Yeah, you know, so that was another thing that was kind of nice to have that tie. And you know, Emily Palmachek, my cousin over there at Ankeny Centennial. So
well, I know Biff was always real supportive of Emily's program, so I'm sure you'll probably see him at some of your games, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and they've been great, you know, in trying to help me transition and, you know, we're in the community, try to help with a move that I'm still working on as well. So it's nice to have that connection.
Well, you told me earlier that it was going to take a special place to lure you away from Xavier, and Ankeny was one of those places. You know, what was the appeal of Ankeny?
You know, I think just the strong, rich tradition that is here in Ankeny and the supportive community. You know, I know I was very passionate about it, you know, activities, which is why, you know, I love this profession. And but I, you know, being at Xavier was a great place, and you know, very supportive there as well. So I knew it was going to take a place that had that kind of great support again. But then also the challenge me professionally to take on, you know, a big animal that this activities department can be at times. And you know, I think it just seemed like the right opportunity for me and my family.
Well, you're replacing a guy, Brent Butcher, who left to become the activities director at Dallas Center Grimes. Brent had been here since the split into two high schools in 2013. And over the last few weeks, I've read quite a few tributes from people, you know, in the community to Brent, thanking him for his dedication and support and trying to build up the Ankeny Athletic Program. You know, so, you know, you got some big shoes to fill.
I really do. And Brent's been great with the transition to help me get in. I had the opportunity to kind of be with him, work with him for a few days early in June before he started his transition over at Dallas Center Grimes. So, you know, I'm very forever grateful for Brent for that, to help with that transition. But I definitely have some big shoes to fill. Looking forward to that challenge. But you know, he obviously you know, set the tone and really worked very hard you know, in that transition time with Ankeny splitting the two high schools, and obviously did a great job with that. And you know, I'm looking forward to kind of taking and running with where he's got things, and hopefully continue to move things in the right direction.
Well, I interviewed Brent on the podcast a few weeks ago, and one of the things that he told me was that every AD needs to have a Tim Simpkins in town. Tim, of course, is the director of construction in Ankeny, and today happens to be his birthday. So shout out to Tim. Hope he has a happy birthday. He's also part of an alumni, Ankeny alumni group that I have lunch with about every 3 months. So have you had a chance to meet Tim yet?
You know what I have? I've actually got to do a few different meetings with Tim already. He was the one that showed me around when I interviewed, and I just had a meeting with him last week when I was here, and happy birthday, Tim. But yeah, he's been great to work with. And I know with a school district, as many, especially when it's growing like Ankeny is, you know, he's a pretty vital asset to the help with that, the growth and being ready for it.
Well, I know you told me previously that building relationships with various people in the community would be your first priority. You know, do you feel like that's your biggest challenge then, just getting to know all the people?
You know, it is, because a job like this, you can get lost in the shuffle and focus so much on, you know, the schedules, on, you know, working on the policies and things like that. But, I think that's one big goal I still have is trying to meet as many people as I can. You know, I had the opportunity last night. We were hosting Ames in baseball and softball last night, so I had a great opportunity to meet a lot of, some people there. I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of our coaches already, both, you know, obviously are in season right now with baseball, softball, but also some of our off season, and getting to meet some too as a season transitioned, getting to see Simon Brown, in the girls soccer team win state. I had the opportunity to have my current school Xavier win the 2A right before Ankeny won the 3A, and was there for both of those, and that was a fun opportunity. But yeah,
oh yeah,
a position like this, I think it's hard to be successful in this role without building those great relationships and being supportive of all of our activities that we have going on, both the fine arts and athletics in their clubs. So,
well, I imagine you had some various expectations, when you took this position, going from Xavier to a little bigger school, like Ankeny. I realize you've only been here a short time, but, has there been anything about the job that has taken you by surprise yet?
I think it's really, truly hard to fully prepare for a job like this without, just trial by fire getting in there. And I do realize that there is quite a bit of moving parts in this role. But I've also figured out real fast that we have some great people in part of the department, working with Sarah Murphy already, the activity secretary, and Tom Day, the event manager, and then Mike Baker, or the 8-9 over there at Southview. They've all been fantastic in helping me transition. And, not just them, but also Scott Garvis over at Centennial, and Holly Anderson too. And just having those type of resources around you really helps, be in the know and help with the transition.
Well, you mentioned the folks over there at Centennial. Tomorrow, your baseball and softball teams will travel across town to face the Jaguars. Now, I know you've been at some other schools that have had some big rivalries, some that have been around, for decades, I'm sure. But the Ankeny versus Centennial rivalry, is a little different simply because it is still relatively new. Coming in as an outsider, how do you view this rivalry?
I'm actually excited to head over there to Centennial tomorrow to see that matchup. I think rivalries can be great things for a community, especially, if both are, promoted. And I think, hopefully we can keep that a healthy rivalry, and I know that's a big thing that's with the split. I know that sometimes it's still fairly new, and hopefully it's something that can be embraced well. And I think the kids probably have done a really good job with it from the outside coming in. I think it looks like the kids have done a really nice job with keeping it real civil, and I'm really excited about seeing that firsthand tomorrow night.
When you mentioned Scott Jarvis, I know in your position, you sometimes have to work with him. Of course, he's only been here 1 year himself, but have you been able to rely on him as well, for help in transitioning to this job?
I really have. And, the AD world's a lot smaller than some people maybe realize. I knew Scott when he was over at Newton, and, he's been a great asset. He reached out right away, when I accepted this position, and we've gotten to work a few different days, and, we obviously work on a couple of our programs are sharing between the boys and girls swimming and the bowling, boys and girls bowling. And so I've kind of just worked on the ins and outs of that as well, and just some of the facility things as well with the Northview complex and, obviously a Prairie Trail where we do our swimming. And so kind of working some of that stuff with Scott to be in the know on all those things too. But he's been a great asset to me already.
Well, let's talk about, some of the other stops you've had in your career. I mentioned that you're a Dowling graduate. You must have played in high school with Matt McCree then, right?
I did, yeah. So, I'm a Dowling grad, so hopefully nobody around here holds that against me. But I was fortunate enough to play with Matt McCree. I graduated with him. We had a really good baseball baseball team back then too, with Matt McCree and some of those guys. I played for Matt Dillon, was a great coach.
Sure.
He actually just came back to Iowa. He's over at St. Ed's now, you know, and so I played with his son as well. But yeah, great experiences at Dowling. You know, somebody that moved, I moved to the Des Moines area right before my freshman year in high school. And so I ended up going to Dowling because that's where my stepbrothers were at. And, you know, had a good experience there. And so, yeah, I know that's going to be a unique thing for me just because, you know, the schools I've been at haven't always played Dowling on a regular basis. So I know that'll be a new thing, but, you know, I'm excited about that as well.
Right. Well, you started your coaching career in 2007 at Sioux City Helan, where you were an assistant football and track coach. You know, do you think, you know, being a coach first, you know, did that help you appreciate the kind of things that a coach needs from its athletic director?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it'd be really hard to be in this role without being, you know, a director or coach first. I just think, you know, you learn so many things being in the trenches as a coach. And, you know, I had a great opportunity right out of college to not only teach phys ed and health and then run our school strength program while I was at Helan for 6 years, but also just to as a varsity assistant football and track, and then did some lower level basketball just to get that experience working with some of those coaches was really vital for me, especially right out of college. You know, sometimes when you leave college, you think you're ready to run a program, and you know, I think really seeing how a program's ran, everything that goes into running a successful program, being an assistant through that was very vital for me.
We spent 6 years there before being named the head coach, head football coach, and head strength and conditioning coach at Estherville Lincoln Central in 2013. Estherville is also where you got your start in administration, serving as the activities director and the assistant principal at the same time. So did you always, you know that you eventually wanted to move into administration?
You know, maybe I thought eventually. I really thought that I would stay in the kind of the coaching ranks for a little bit longer than I thought I did. I just found when I took that job in Estherville, you know, it was a unique opportunity to not only be a head coach at a 2A school, but also to get that administrative experience. And I just found how enjoyable I found it to be, you know, being able to run and have a positive impact on more than just the programs I'm coaching. And that's one thing I really value from this position is, although you're not, you know, in the trenches on a day-to-day basis with the programs, I think you can have a positive impact on every single program that our kids are involved in. And that's one thing that I really found that I loved, you know, kind of going into that role. And, you know, I moved to Estherville, you know, more for the head football thing than probably the administration, but then in turn end up really realizing how much I felt like I could offer that position.
Now, did you guys have some good football teams up there?
You know, we did. I had some challenges in rebuilding a new program, but I know we made playoff 2 of the 4 years I was there, winning a playoff game in, it would have been in 2015. On the road against a one seed, which was a nice win, and great kids, great community, very supportive. And, you know, I owe a lot to my success and my development as a professional for my time there, just learning how to multitask. I mean, being a head coach, assistant principal, handling discipline and truancy issues, and then being the activities director, 7-12 activities director, was a lot of big challenges, wearing a lot of hats and helping with run the strength program. But it was just a great opportunity for me to really learn and grow and wear a lot of different hats and realize what it all takes.
Well, that is a lot of different hats. And I know Estherville is a smaller school, but did you find it difficult to juggle all those different responsibilities?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it was very challenging. And, you know, there's no way I could have done what I was doing there without some great supports, which I know is the same. You know, anywhere you go, you got to have great support around you. I had great coaches to work with there. Our principal was the AD before me, and he did a great job, you know, really helping me in the fall season, you know, maybe starting an event until I could get there from practice, or, you know, owning the operation, the game day management that Friday night, so I have my coaching responsibilities. And so there's no way you could juggle all those things, even at a small school, without having that kind of support system. And, you know, I found that, you know, at Xavier as well, you know, even though it's a little bit different role, you still got to have that support around you to be successful. So I've always tried to really work hard to surround myself with good people and try to help them grow while I'm trying to do the same.
Well, then in 2017, you did move on to Cedar Rapids Xavier, which is another school that has enjoyed a lot of athletic success. You're obviously only there for 2 years, but do you feel like you've left the Saints program in pretty good shape?
You know what? I really do. You know, and when I took that job, I did not anticipate having such a short stint there. It just, again, was just one of those opportunities I didn't feel like I could pass up when it presented itself. And they were very understanding with that. I had the opportunity to work with Tom Keating, was my boss the 2 years I was there, who's now the new executive director of the Iowa High School Association. And he was a great mentor for me. And I feel like I was able to really learn and grow a lot from him during that time. But I think I was able to bring a lot to Xavier while I was there in a short time. They were in the process of finishing the turf field project that I was, you know, obviously was direct hands-on on that project. And that was one of the big pieces that had a hard time going on. But then doing other things like getting our schedules online, that was one thing that they did not do before I got there. So that was one big piece I did. But then also, you know, hiring a couple coaches and just getting some the three-dimensional coaching I know has been implemented here. We were just in the process of getting that going there. And so I think I felt good about where things were at. I felt like I left it in a better place. And that's one thing that, you know, my dad always taught me that too, is, you know, always try to leave things better than the way you found it. And even though I was only there for 2 years, I felt like I did that. And, you know, and it's going to be fun to watch your success from afar. Just they got great coach and people there. I know Dwayne Schulte, you know, obviously had a lot of success in football, winning 2 state titles the last 2 years. You know, Austin Fire, their volleyball coach, has done a great job building that program to where it's at now. And so that was probably the hardest part when you make a move like this, is you build this great relationship with coaches and you feel invested in their programs with them, you know, with the time they put in. And so that was probably the hardest part about making a transition like this, is telling the coaches that you're moving on. And so, again, they were understanding and supportive of it. And I'm excited to watch their continued success from afar.
Now, Andy, you've had the opportunity to work at both parochial and public schools during your career. As an administrator, you know, are there many differences between the two, or do you pretty much, you know, treat a parochial school the same way you would a public school?
You know, in the role as an activities director, it is pretty comparable, because you're following the same state policies and everything that's set aside with associations. I think trying to tackle projects there's no public funding for, you know, a field project or, you know, renovations of a locker room and things like that. So I think that was one piece that I found that was a little more challenging, is just trying to find the resources to keep up with the needs and, you know, to have adequate facilities for, you know, the success of the programs that they were having there and those type of things. But yeah, I think, you know, in a role as an activities director, though, I think a lot of it's the same. You know, I don't think I didn't notice a huge difference. Just that, you know, obviously Xavier's on a bigger stage than Estherville was, just as, you know, Ankeny's on a bigger stage here and in this area than Xavier is. So,
all right, Andy, well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Best of luck, you know, with the new job, and I look forward to working with you.
Absolutely, Dan. Thanks so much for having me again.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's Stanbrough, at iowarealty.com. I want to thank my guests once again for coming in today, Centennial baseball coach Mark High, Centennial softball coach Brett Delaney, and the new Ankeny Activities Director, Andy Umphen. Thanks to those gentlemen for taking the time to speak with me today. Really appreciate it. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.